Amen. It sure is good to be here this morning, and so good to see everybody. And I've been real excited about getting back this morning and missed being here on Wednesday night. That was kind of unexpected, and I definitely want to say I appreciate Brother Tim's willingness to stand in for us on Wednesday night. They had called us and said, if you want to talk to your grandmother, your mother, yeah, you need to come on. And so that's what we did, not knowing exactly what to expect. You know, we know no man knows the time, that they couldn't give us an exact time or what have you. But when we got there, and she's just kind of laying there asleep, what have you. But, you know, she did kind of perk up and talk to us, or try to talk to us a little bit. And went over and sat down beside of her, and she opened her eyes and reached out her hand, got to hold her hand and talk to her, you know, and that was a blessing, just to see that and have that time. Thankful the Lord gave that to us. But Mom and my Aunt Brenda, they're with her this morning, and she's doing about the same, they said. So just really be in prayer. And, you know, before I get too far into that, I do want to make one announcement. This is kind of part of the message, but I do want to make an announcement about a youth revival meeting that is going to be starting at Westside Baptist Church on this Friday night of March 15th. At 7 p.m. So it'll start then. It'll go the next couple of nights there into Sunday night. And if you want to see this, we actually have a copy of the announcement up here with us, so you can read that. But they did want us to invite everyone for that meeting there. But I just didn't want to forget that and make mention of that this morning. And also tonight is the fourth Sunday night prayer meeting, 6 p.m. at Antioch. Brother Daniel wanted me to announce that also. But I was, again, just kind of thinking about my grandmother and just kind of seeing the condition there. You know, if she lives till March 1st, she'll be 91 years old. That's what I would count as a full life. You know, that's a blessing. And as we got there and everything, you know, there's a sense of urgency to get there, a sense of nervousness, not knowing what you're going to experience once you get there. But, you know, it ended up being a really good night for the family just to be together. But you know, if you are running a race, and that's what we'll be talking about this morning, preaching on, a race, the closer you get to the finish line, the more of a blessing that should be. You know, it might take you by surprise, but I'm not much of a runner. I used to try to run. I tell you, the most exciting thing, Sister, that I could remember was just getting to see that finish line, getting closer to it. Like, man, this thing's about over, you know. And it was something else. Got to run with Sister Amber some, and Brother Bradley didn't run with us, Sister Brandy didn't run with us, but they cheered us on. But we kind of got to see that. And so there's a lot that you can pull from when you think about a race and kind of what it entails. And if you will, let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 1 through 2. It's going to kind of really, this was really planned for Wednesday night, but in that it didn't work out. The Lord really just kept it on my heart for this morning. Think a lot about our young adults, our young people, our young couples. When I was thinking about my grandmother, you know, that as she's getting closer to the end of her race, it's not a sad time if a person's ready to go. We all have a race that's set before us, the Bible teaches us. And you've got a race, I have a race. There's, I guess you could say, maybe an overall race that we have that we're kind of running together. But I want us to see this morning that we have an independent race, one that the Lord has laid before us and He's outlined for us. And on the heels of what we've went through in Hebrews chapter 11, this is a continuation, and it kind of goes on from there saying wherefore, and that is where we're going from here. And it says here, Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word, the word that you've given to us this day, God, to be able to be here. I thank you so much for everyone that's here. God, it's so good to see everyone and just the pleasant spirit that's here and it's been here, Lord. I thank you for that. And being able to experience that, Lord, as we try to learn and grow. God, I pray that you be with me this morning. God, give me the presence of mind to speak the way you'd have me to, say what you'd have me to. Lord, I pray and ask that our hearts be in tune, God, with what you want us to see from this. And help us, Lord. Lord, help me to speak clearly. God, help our young people, all the people in our church, but young people starting out, Lord, I just pray that this land on our hearts, where you'd have it to, where we could see it and gain from it early in life, God, and use it throughout our life, and maybe not just at the end and wish we had known sooner some things, God, but we need to apply things sooner to reap the benefit in our life, God. And I just thank you so much for your holy word that you've given to us, the guidebook that you've given to us, the outline, the framework, God, that you've allowed for us to have. If we'll open it up and see it and look at it and take it and apply it, God. Lord, I pray for all of our youngsters, Lord. I pray for those that are lost in our church, God. I pray that you help them to see their need, Lord. Even this morning, God, help them to see the plan of salvation, God, and what you've laid out before us, Lord. Go with us, God. Help us and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just again, thinking about the race and seeing everything that was laid out before us, you know, I was thinking about my grandmother, and it's, you can take it as a sad time, and I guess in some ways it could be, but if you place yourself as a Christian in that place, you know that your home going is very soon. That's the prize. That's what I get excited about when you think about looking forward to things, and when you look at eternity, knowing that I'm going there and I have that promise. That gives me such peace. When I see my grandmother laying there, I couldn't help it. There was times I thought, you know, if time stands the way that it is, that it could be my mother there. Then it really dawned on me, Jason, it could be you there, you just next. It's just the way the course of life is, and it makes me want to be prepared. When I study these things and see these things and see how it affects me, it makes me think about my son Josh. It makes me think about him. It makes me think about Sarah. It makes me think about all the young people in our church and how I want them to be prepared. The responsibility that's laid before me to do those things and to help prepare, and the parents to help prepare. It's something that we share together. And I love how Paul, he uses this and he kind of lays this out where we can see this. It says again, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. We read what we saw there in Hebrews chapter 11. All those people that we saw and we read about over the last few weeks, several weeks. You know, we could get locked in our minds and think, you know, they're in heaven looking down on us, rooting us on like, hey, get it right. But I don't believe they're looking at us. I don't believe they're seeing what's going on down here. It'd be hard to be in heaven and look down on this and not be saddened by what you see down here. I think it's quite the opposite, Brother Dale's. What it's speaking to is the witnesses that we have of them. We can look back on what they had in their lifetime and we can celebrate their wins and then also see where they failed. That is for our betterment. That is for our help. Well, what we're seeing in Sunday mornings, the life of David, as that's had come to an end in Sunday school this morning, we can see his wins and his failures, and we should learn by that. That's the witness that's being talked about. It's like when you read it sometimes and you're going through bit by bit, it's like you can see where they're getting ready to get it right, or sometimes they're getting ready to get it wrong. It's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Just trust the Lord. Just trust him. Recently went through with Jericho and what they were told to do and exactly how they were told to march around the city. You know, they had the choice to get it wrong. Thank the Lord they didn't, but they could have got it wrong. It's easy to get things wrong when there are things that's placed in your way. You know what it's saying here? This is an encouragement to the Hebrews, to the Jewish people, to you and I also in the church. It's an encouragement just to stay obedient and stay the plan with what God has. Now that sounds so easy. I could just tell you this morning, just do the right thing. Just do right. You could say amen and we could go home. Hey, just do right. That's the story of the book. Do right. But if it was just that simple. There's a couple of things that we see added on into this verse right here. And it says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, I have a race and you have a race. Let us lay aside every weight. If you were going to run a race this morning,
bicycle race, foot races, what have you. What do you see them doing every time on commercials, if you see any of these commercials? Brother Mike, are bicycles getting heavier or lighter? Lighter. Have some friends in law enforcement. They get bikes, and they, from time to time, they'd show me. They could pick it up, and you could hold it like with a couple of fingers, like carbon fiber and all this kind of stuff. It's getting lighter. Getting less and less. For you to be more competitive, you need less weight on you. When you see about running shoes, they don't get heavier. They get lighter. People pick those things up and go, man, feel how light that is. Everything is going maybe to a little bit smaller, a little bit lighter, a little bit more convenient, so you'll have a better chance at winning. It's kind of how it's supposed to be, isn't it? I look back, I see some of these football players today and basketball, we're even remarking on that yesterday. Their uniforms are so much smaller. When I played in high school, it was like we were going to battle. I had the big neck brace and all these shoulder pads, and everything was loose and hanging off of you, made you look bigger. But man, it was so much easier to get tackled. Now it's like it's just real slimline stuff. Little short shorts, all this stuff, these men, it's just kind of funny, you know, but it's supposed to make them faster, make them be able to jump higher. So if you think about a race and being competitive, you don't want to be weighed down with things, do you? I got a surprise for you this morning. The Lord laid something on my heart, and I'm going to ask Brother Josh, Brother Sarah, if you will, to come up here for just a minute. Surprise everybody. I wasn't anticipating this either. But you know, they say a photo is worth a thousand words. I think a demonstration would be good for us this morning. You just stand right up here. I won't do anything to embarrass you if you won't do anything to embarrass me. How's that? Huh? How's that? We'll just work through it together. So you see, young couple, engaged, starting out. You know, are you competitive? He is. Used to play him in video games, basketball, whatever. He don't like to lose. Nobody likes to lose. You competitive? You like to win? She don't really care. So this will make this easier, right? So, but if you two were running a race right now, and you were going to take off running, you'd run to win, right? You know, it's what you try to do, right? And so there's nothing in your hands. You're not holding anything weighted down or what have you. But just on the face of it, you would think you were running against each other and you wanted to beat each other, right? First one across the line wins, right? To make it interesting, though, let's do this. You hold that. Now, does that change the odds maybe a little bit? Maybe. I mean, if you're really going to run, it's going to be hard to hold something like that and run. Would you not agree? Might give her the edge a little bit there, you know. But here's the thing. It's life, and reality of life is it's kind of how things go. You get weighted down with things the best you can do. Think about our young couples. You're trying to find a job. Boom. Trying to find a house. Boom. Pay the bills. Boom. You see how things add up. Things kind of get stacked away. Now, if you two are running against each other, what would you do with that? Well, if I was Sarah, this is what I'd do. I'd do that, right? That way I'm getting it off of me and putting it on somebody else. I would want to put the hardship on my competition, right? Wouldn't that what you want to do? That's what they do in politics, Brother Ben. It's not what I can do for you, but you don't want that other guy because he ain't no good. I ain't no better, but I'm going to tell you why he ain't no good. That's what people do. You know, in Christianity today, a lot of times what I see is we're good at telling people what we stand against, but not necessarily what we stand for. You ever see that? It's important to know what you're standing for. Think about that. I would do this. If I was running a race, right here, if the race was between Sarah and Josh and Sarah wanted to gain the advantage, what she should do or probably would do would put the weight back on him. Make his race harder, right? To increase her chances of winning. See a lot of things about races in the Bible. What I want us to see and understand this morning, the race isn't against these two. These two are getting married. These two are supposed to be partners, is that right? So she shouldn't want to put any more on him. He shouldn't want to put any more on her. But if I was the devil, Brother Ben, that's what I'd try to do. I'd try to get at odds right here and try to get them stacking up stuff against each other. That's what I'd try to do. I'd make the race between the two to make it more difficult. Now, the reality of it is, now let me tell you this. You both, now Sarah, you are running together. This isn't a competition. You now are teammates. You both want to cross the line together. So what would you do with this? You probably take a little bit more back. There's, you see there? See, now that makes perfect sense. Now they're both carrying one another's burdens, right? But see, I'm your pastor. I'm your father-in-law. I'm your father. I want to see you succeed. I don't want to see you weighted down with anything. I don't want to see any burdens placed upon you. You know what the Bible says? It says to lay aside every burden. Lay aside every weight. That's what it's saying in His Word to do. You know what I really want to see you do? Turn around and place them right here. See, I want to see you lay aside every weight right here where you can lay them down. So now look at the odds of this partnership running the race with nothing holding them back. Either one of them. See, that's what this is about. That's the way it's supposed to work. You two can sit down. I think Sarah's getting a little nervous. But you see and understand what it's saying here. The race is not me against you. It's not Josh against Sarah. It's a race that the Lord has laid before them. It's the race that the Lord, my race, that He's laid before me. And He's saying to lay these things down and to run with patience. It's not trying to sprint and leave somebody behind. You know, it's okay to stop if you see somebody else struggling and help them along. That's what the Christian race is like. That's what it's all about. And we see things, and my problem in my life is getting thoughts in my head about what my race should be and not consulting the Lord and asking Him first. You know, there's things in our life that we want to see happen. There's things in our life that we want to experience. If we're not careful, we will get our sights set on those things, those happenings, and think that is the next phase, the next step in our life that we should follow after. Think about the purchasing of cars, the purchasing of homes. You think about the right job. It has to be the right job. You're in a job now and you look at the next job, and if that job pays more, it has to be the right job because it pays more money, right? Well, you don't know what all comes with it. What if that job took you away from where the Lord wanted you to be? Would you say that's what the Lord wanted you to do, or is that what you wanted to do? You see how this is coming together and how important it is to seek out the Lord first. You know, the Lord knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The Lord knows what He has planned for you. I can't overemphasize this enough. When we see things in life, a lot of times the stresses and the problems that we have are internal, that we place upon ourselves in hopes of what we think we want to see happen. And then that consumes our mind. That consumes everything, and it just takes over what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord is saying, I want this for you in your life, and I'll show you that in His Word. But we get other things in our mind, and if we're not careful, we start working against each other, and we'll start working against the Lord. We'll get mad at Him if things don't seem to be going the way we want them to go. That's not how it's supposed to be. We see here again, it says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let's get these things cleared off the table. Let's get these things out of the way, and the sin that which does so easily beset us, the sin that holds us back, the little sins that the devil will throw out at us and that we'll partake in, that takes us away from the fellowship with the Lord. Once that happens, He's kind of got you locked in a certain little place. Sin is heavy. Talking about in Sunday school, the life of David, short-lived life compared to some of the other ones in the Old Testament, it's probably because of all the things that he faced in his life. Sin comes at a price. Sin is heavy. You know, it's one thing to carry what you would say normal day-to-day burdens, but it's another thing to actually put burdens on yourself. Let me give you this. This will be my burden illustration. I remember when I was in high school, wanted to run faster. I wanted to jump higher when I was playing football. I looked silly, but I did it. I can't remember if it was Dad or my Uncle Eddie. Somebody was telling me about this. If you want to be faster and jump higher, I always wanted to dunk a basketball. Never could, Brother Mike, but I wanted to. I was willing to try things. They had these weights that you could put on your ankles. You wear them around all day at school, and then at night or in the afternoon when you go to football practice, you're supposed to run faster. I was pretty much more tired, just to be honest with you. And if you remember the old high school, going up those stairs as you had to go up to the second floor in the old high school there, I stumbled and tripped about every time I walked up those stairs wearing them. Like, why are you wearing them stupid things? Because I'm the next Michael Jordan, that's why. Kind of big deal, you know. But I put those weights on me. It made my day a whole lot harder. That's what sin is. That's when you put the sin on. You partake in these things. You don't get these things out of the way. You place that on you. You're making it harder. Life is hard enough without you messing it up for yourself. There's a lot of outside interference that's going to come into play. You don't need to make it harder for yourself. So that's the two things that the Bible says to lay aside. Paul's saying, get these weights off of you. Lay these things down at the altar and set aside this sin. Get this sin off of you. Just trusting the Lord and obeying Him, that's a relieving experience. He's saying to lay these things down. You know, I look at things and look ahead into the future and think about what if this could happen, all these kind of things. You know, it just really dawned on me, and Sister Holly, I already know this, but Jesus already knows what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen, and He knows what He wants to see happen for me. I can make that harder, I can make that easier, I could go along with His plan, or I could stay with my plan. But I tell you, you're going to see in this next verse, His plan is the one that we really need to be focused on. Hope we can see this, our young couples this morning. I hope that we can see what this is saying. It's saying, looking unto Jesus. That means stop. Before you make any decisions, no matter how small you think they are, and saying, Jesus, what is your will as far as this goes? I'm looking at this car, what is your will? I'm looking at this home. I'm looking at this career. I'm looking at all these different things that need to take place. Lord, what is your will? You need to stop with every single one of those things and say, Lord, what's your will first? Because He already knows. I don't recall a time where I had my mind set on something that what the Lord actually gave me wasn't better than what I had my mind set on. I don't recall a time feeling like the Lord gave me less if I waited on Him. It usually seemed to be a better situation for everybody. You know, you think about starting out getting married. I'm telling you, that should be the absolute center point of your marriage. That should be the focal point. Not at odds with one another. I want this, I want this. But you united together saying, Lord, what do you want for us? Looking unto Jesus, the author. I'm very interested in that word there, author. That's one who produces, creates, or brings into being. That's a huge thing. He is the author. He is the writer. He's the one that knows what He wants for you and what He wants for me. That's why this isn't a competition. You know how many races there are in this room? As many people that are here. It's not a competition. You know, what I see people do a lot of times, see a lot of Christians do, in decision making, this is how it is. I've been guilty of it. Lord, if you would just give me a sign. Lord, if you would just show me what you want me to do here. I don't think it's bad. I don't think what I'm asking for is a bad thing. I don't think what I'm looking for is a bad thing. And to have that or partake into that or have this job or that job, I don't think it's a bad thing. But Lord, could you just give me a sign? Could you just give me something? You see what's closed? Lord, if you could just give me something and show me something, Lord, that would just be amazing. He's saying, Jason, I am an author. What do authors do? They write books, don't they? Well, what's closed? I'm looking for a sign, but I'm not opening the author's book. I can't emphasize to you enough this morning how important this book is in your life right now. Most important thing. More important than what you think you want, more important than what you think is good, this will give you the answer. I promise you that. The Lord has a way, if you're seeking Him, He's the author, He's wanting you to see in His book what He has for you. He has a way of sending you the verses you need to read to solidify the decision you need to make. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. He can give you peace in those pages. But you have to be willing to open it and read it and see what it is. He wants to make you promises. He wants to prove Himself to you. A lot of times we're here looking for a sign. If the Lord just allow this just to fall out of the sky somehow, when He's already said, look, I'm the author. You need to read what I've written to you. You have to see what I've written to you. And it says here, the author and the finisher of our faith. The finisher, the one who completely performs, the one who completes, the one who perfects. He's the finisher. He's the one that brings it to be. This is telling me if I follow what the Lord has for me in my life, He's going to give me what I need. He's going to make it plain to me. You know, He has a way of making things plain. There's a lot of decisions I've made in my life. Brother Mike mentioned this in Sunday school. There's a lot of decisions. If I could go back in my life and say, boy, I would do that all over again. I would do it. But the Lord has a way. When He makes a decision in your life, you can say, you know what? I'm glad He did that. Boy, that's a blessing. And you know, I know that the Lord did that, so I know where I'm supposed to be. A lot of times people are uncontent, discontent, because they don't have peace in their life. They don't know if they're in the will of God or not. They don't know if they're where the Lord would have them to be or not. But if you let the Lord make those decisions, you can have peace in knowing He put me right here. And His Word will back that up every time. You know, and this is another thing. It's in Revelation. It's talking about one of the end time churches. Revelation 3. It's the church of Philadelphia. And it says, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. You know, when the Lord has a door for you to go through, it is open to you and nobody else can close it. That's amazing to think about that for me. When the Lord is leading you in a certain way and you say, well, what if? Lord says, that's your door. It's open. Nobody else can shut it. That's for you to go through. Nobody else can close it. Nobody else can walk through it. That's your door. The Lord has that kind of power. We wonder about time and, well, if I don't act now, if I don't do something right now, I'm going to lose my opportunity. The door's going to close. And the Lord says, if that's your door, it's going to be an open for you to walk through it. Nobody else can shut it. He has a very good way of making things plain. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You see the gospel in this part of this scripture. For who the joy, He saw through what He had to go through in the cross so we would have a way of salvation. So He would have a way of fellowship with you and me. He wants that. Not just in heaven, but He wants fellowship with us right now today. In our lives and letting us, the joy of us being obedient to Him, letting Him open those doors. Us have that life with Him that He wants us to have with Him. He endured the cross for that purpose, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is right there ruling now. He is watching us. We talk about the old saints. No, but He is. He's interested in your life. He's interested in what's going on in your life. He wants to help you through it. He wants to help me through it. Let's go to Psalm chapter number 37 for just a minute. I just have a few places I want to read and we'll close this morning. I think about our young couples in the workplace, what have you.
navigating through life, you're not in it alone. The Lord wants to help you. Psalms 37, look at verses 23 through 24. I talked to a lot of people asking about help, asking about guidance, direction, and what have you. And this is some of the best scripture I can find that outlines how the Lord handles things. If you put Him first, it's not about following your desire, it's about following His promise, His plan for your life. Verse 23, it says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way." You say, "A good man, I'm not good." You can say something like that. But if you're saved, you're seeking the Lord, you're trying to be obedient to Him, I believe that's what He's talking about right here. Not somebody that's out here doing things on their own. Not trying to create their own lifestyle or what have you, but actually following after the Lord. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." If you're wondering if you're going the right way or not, this is saying if you follow Him, He will order your steps. He will lead you to that right door. See, I find a lot of comfort in that. Ordered, that means regulated, methodized, or managed. He has managed you. He has a way to cause you to walk in the right path if you're willing to follow Him. But you know, I don't see a lot of confidence in that. I don't. I see a lot of people kind of just floating and maybe discontent, maybe, you know, complaining about this or that, but are you really trying to follow Him? Are you really trying to seek what He has for you? Are you really following after Him? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And though he fall, we're absolutely none perfect, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And it goes on to say it. This, there's a lot of good verses here. This is a Psalm of David. He said, "I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread." He's going to take care of you. You know, in the heat of something, I use work a lot. I work, and so I think about that. I see how it is. Worked in law enforcement, different competitive type places. People that want to rise to the top and they're ready to walk all over you for it. But here's the thing. We're not about putting books and burdens on people, are we? They've got a race and you've got a race. You've got to stay focused on your race. If you're not careful, you'll be looking at somebody else's race thinking they're getting something you want. Then jealousy, envy, those sins that so easily beset, they'll weight you down. And you lose sight of your race. I really want to say this, and I hope it comes out and it really resonates with you. I really know this. I think a lot of times we think of Christian people as oppressed, held down, people that are just being persecuted and having a hard time because how you see across the world, how everybody's against the Word of God and everybody's against Christianity. We think we're in the minority, we're beat down. I want you to know how powerful the Word of God is and what it says. We should be confident in our Savior. I'm serious when I say that. If we truly believe what the Bible says and that He is ordering our steps, we should never be cocky, but we should be confident in what He is doing in our lives and not looking at somebody else's. The devil has a lot of tools. Get on Facebook. Whoa, they're going on vacation again. How can they afford? I can't afford to go on vacation. Maybe if I got that promotion, I could have afforded to do that. Maybe I could have added on to my house if I'd have had this and I'd have had that. And you know what we do? We cast a shadow of doubt on Jesus when we do that. But you know, if you really believe that the Lord loves you, He's ordering your steps, He's the author of your faith, He has plans for you, and He's going to walk you through the right doors, you should be happy. And you know what? You should be happy for your brothers and sisters when they're doing well also. Maybe they're walking through the right doors. It's easy to get caught up in what you see and what you perceive. A lot of what happens in my life happens right here between this little space right here, and it's not even reality. The devil loves that. If he can cast a little bit of doubt in your mind that all this is going on, all these people are happy, he'll get you locked down. And you won't be happy. I see it a lot with younger people starting out, trying to get here and get there and have things set up. The Bible says here that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Should have this underlined and highlighted, circled. Might even have it memorized for a lot of people. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." A lot of times what we do, we kind of get locked in the day-to-day thing. We see, perceive maybe somebody else is gaining the advantage. Jealousy, envy sets in. You got to understand and realize the Lord has your race for you. Did you know you can't run somebody else's race? I want you to understand that your race is your race. He's the author. He has a race for you. Sister Mildred, he has a race for you. He has a race for me. Brother Dale, he has a race for you. It's not, he has a race for each of us. And I believe the Lord knows us so well. And he loves us so much, and he wants to see us happy. That's why he went to the cross, so he could have fellowship with us. Remember, he wants to see us happy. He didn't die on the cross to see us upset and tore up all the time. He wants to see us happy. He made a way for us. He made the pathway for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. He's saying here, you know, when things look off on the outside, when things don't look good and things don't make sense and things don't seem to be really going the way that you think they should be going, he's saying, if you will trust me, I'll make sure that you're in the right path. I'll make sure that you are in your race and you're not getting taken out of your race. So you can run your race without songbooks in your hand. Free. Liberated. He's saying, stay with me. I created you. I know you're being better than anybody else. And I can make you happier than anybody else if you will let me. See, this other person, these other people, they're not you. They're not made up the same way you are. There's differences. God made us different. He's saying, I know what is going to make you happy. I know how to take care of you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding what you think you know. The more I try to know, the more I realize I don't know much. You try to learn a whole lot or read a whole lot, you realize, wow, there's you don't know what you don't know kind of stuff. But you know what? The Lord knows everything. Again, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He knows all those things. He knows what he wants for us. He knows what he wants us to have, how he wants us to live, what's going to make us happy, what's going to be make us content in our lives. And he's saying here, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. He's saying again, put him first in everything that we do. Everything. At work, at home, at school, wherever that is, put him first. Go and say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, I'm going to give you the glory and honor for what takes place from here on out. Acknowledging him first, going to his book first, not asking for a sign, but studying and seeking his will and his word, and he'll make it plain. That's what it says right here. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If you look up that word direct, that means to make straight and to make plain. That's the best place I believe I've ever found myself to be in. Number one, being saved. Number two, knowing the Lord has made something plain. The Lord will make decisions for you if you'll let him. Did you know that? I'm not kidding. I've seen things. I could go down a list of things in my life that I've seen it just kind of fall in line. And you could take it for granted. But when you look back and say, the Lord did that. The Lord made himself known in my life. And I'm happy he did that. I'm telling you, our young couples need to see that and realize that. He can take a lot of these things, a lot of these worries and a lot of these weights off of us if we'll let him. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter number 29 for just a minute. We'll close there. We'll try to close out earlier this Sunday since they held you longer last Sunday. How's that? Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he's the one, if you remember, prophet of Israel that cried a lot over the burden. He had a burden for Israel and the condition of Israel. Jeremiah 29:11. But if you remember, he had a burden for his people. This is written directly toward Israel. But I want you to think about how the Lord is to us, people that he loves. He loves us. He loves you this morning. I want this to be an encouragement to each of us this morning. Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read a few verses, maybe even a couple more, because it's very good and it's very plain. I love plain scripture. The Lord is saying here what it's saying here to Israel. He's saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." He knows what he wants for you and me, an expected end. Now, it might not be what we expect. Some of the best movies I've ever watched, I didn't know what to expect in the end, but it kept me around. I'm kind of interested enough in this life now to see what the Lord's going to do next. I'll be honest with you. There's ups and downs and highs and lows and things that happen, but just like that was saying this morning, God has been good to me. Amen. He's been very good to me. I want to see how this ends. I want to see how things go. I want to see what he's going to do next. You say, "Preacher, that's awful big talk." Well, I want to see what he's going to do next. I'm with him regardless. I'm with him. I've done committed. I've done sold out. I'm with him now. I want to see what he's going to do next. Here, if I get to see what heaven's like, or when I get to see what heaven is like, he's saying, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." That tells me, if you stop and just break that down, Jesus is thinking about you this morning. Where you sit, your condition, what you're going through in your life. If you're here this morning and you're lost, he's thinking about you. I promise you that. That's why he went to the cross. He's wanting you to accept him. He's wanting you to trust him, believe in him. He's wanting you to repent to him, your sin, saying you're wrong and he's right. If you're saved this morning, he's wanting to help you through whatever it is that you're going through. It might be a little thing. It might be a big thing. You know what that is, but I about guarantee it's something. Most everybody I know is going through something. Most everybody I know has something on their heart, has something on their mind, whether it be in their life personally, in the life of their kids, the life of their family. Most everybody has that I know has something going on. You think about a prayer list and things that we talk about. I get messages constantly, "Please pray about this. Please pray about this or that." Different things that's going on in people's lives. You know, the Lord wants to help us through these things. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." I wanted to touch on that a minute. I think sometimes people get in their mind carrying a burden of sin. All you have to do, if you've sinned, we all have, but if you've sinned and there's something, all you have to do is confess that to the Lord. He'll relieve that. You don't have to carry that. A lot of times people think God is mad at them. God, like he's sitting there just waiting to judge on somebody, waiting to execute punishment on somebody. No, he wants peace and fellowship with you. That's what the Bible says. That's why he sent Jesus, that peace could be there. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, being the finisher of our faith, he knows where our end is going to be. He knows how our lives are going to progress and how they're going to be. He already knows. He's just asking us to follow him and to trust him. Verse number 12. "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." I will listen. I will listen to what you have to say. What you're saying, your thoughts, your burdens, your problem. If you pray unto me, I will answer unto you. I will listen unto you. "And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." And I think, I'm going to close with this. I think that's a lot of times where we fail. We don't take it that far. We take it to an extent. Maybe it's something in life that we had a burden for a short period of time. And maybe it was burdensome for a time and it didn't come to be. And we say, "You know what? I'm going to abandon that and just forget it altogether. Wasn't really that important." Or maybe there's been things that you've prayed about for a long period of time and maybe not received an answer, and then you just kind of give up on it. But here's the thing about it is what the Lord is saying here. "When you shall search me with all of your heart." When's the last time you've really done that with a problem that you have in your life? Or just take it for granted and move forward with it. The thing about it is, one thing, I'm closing now. One thing I've learned about the Lord is if you give him a chance for him to make himself real in your life, He'll do it. And there's nothing wrong with learning this with the little things either. You don't have to wait till it's something catastrophic and something big. Learn to trust Him with the little things, and it'll make it easier when you have to trust Him for the big things. I promise you that. I've experienced little things. When I look back in my life, they look like little things now, but in the moment, that was the biggest thing I'd ever experienced ever. But the Lord saw me through it. He helped me through it. If you will, stand with me this morning. My race, you think about your race this morning.